Atlanta now is very different from the 1980s. Rappers shot out the city. It's kind of like the lifeblood of the hottest music right now. Films are being routinely filmed there. But the truth is, when I was growing up, Atlanta didn't have that cachet. So, when Atlanta scored the opportunity to host the Centennial Olympics back in the 1990s, it essentially moved Atlanta from obscurity to getting a seat at the cool kids' table with the likes of LA and New York. And not only did the Olympics help launch Atlanta into power player status, it also changed the face of the city of Atlanta forever. Producer Zakiya Gibbons joins me now in the studio. Hey, Zakiya.
Hey, Maria. The story of the 1996 Olympics is actually key to understanding the Latino boom in Atlanta and in the South at large. Before we get into that, though, let's go back to when Atlanta was still in the corner of the lunchroom, yearning to join the popular kids.
Even before the Olympic period, when Ambassador Young was the mayor, he used to talk about Atlanta as the next international city. And this was in a time when Atlanta had a population of under 400,000 people.
That's Sam Zamarripa, former state senator of Georgia. He's also the first Latino to serve in the Georgia State Senate. Back in the 80s, he was working as an aide to the then mayor of Atlanta, Andrew Young.
Well, I'd always wanted to go to the Olympics since I was 4 years old.
That's him speaking to Georgia Public Broadcasting last year. Everyone at the mayor's office thought the idea was super far-fetched and not even worth entertaining. But Young became hooked on Atlanta becoming the home to the Centennial Olympic Games.
I grew up in New Orleans, and the Nazi party was on the corner of my house. And the way my father explained white supremacy and Nazism to me was to take me to the Movie Tone News to see Jesse Owens in the 1936 Olympics.
Opening comes the most amazing performance by America's black streak Jesse Owens in the 100 meters. The world's most superb runner makes the others look as if they're walking.
So I was 4 years old then. And he said, you see, you don't get angry and upset with white supremacists. It's a sickness. You find a way to rise above the sickness. And he used Jesse Owens as an example because when Jesse won the first race, Hitler got up and walked out of the stadium and took all of his stormtroopers with him.
To Owens, star of the squad, goes the laurel of a champion.
I share the Olympic dream that we can stop fighting and compete on the athletic field. If we can do that for 17 days every 4 years, we ought to be able to learn to do it every year. And maybe we can learn to live together as brothers and sisters rather than perish together as fools.
Atlanta was a city still licking its wounds from fraught race relations. And the 1996 Olympics was a chance for a clean slate. Mayor Andrew Young and other high-ups in Atlanta wanted to revamp its reputation and show the world how far they've come since the civil rights movement of the 60s. So Mayor Young, rather than perishing together as fools, wanted to bring Atlanta and the world together through the Olympics. Mayor Young had the challenge of winning over the International Olympic Committee and convincing them to choose Atlanta to host the 1996 Olympic Games. And like at a fancy networking party with the bigwigs, it's all about wooing and schmoozing and selling yourself. And Atlanta's big selling point?
It was the first Olympic city that was able to use the history of civil rights.
Here's Sam Zamarripa again, talking about Mayor Young's pitch.
A lot of his intellectual energy focused on the unique attributes of the civil rights legacy in Atlanta. I think Andrew Young's vision was that Atlanta could share that vision on a world stage. And that was a compelling story.
But it wouldn't be just any Olympics. This was the Centennial Olympics, the 100th anniversary of the very first Olympics. And Atlanta, home to less than 500,000 people at the time and known to even less, wanted to host the biggest Olympic Games yet. But despite the David and Goliath situation, Mayor Young put Atlanta on the ballot up against Athens, Greece, the birthplace of the Olympics, and other cities with more clout. Fast forward several weeks, and people around the world were gathering to see which city won the Olympic bid.
The International Olympic Committee has awarded the 1996 Olympic Games to the city of Atlanta.
There were so many parties in the streets and hugging and kissing. It was like winning the global lottery and not even knowing that you had a ticket in the basket. It was just phenomenal.
As soon as all the confetti was swept up, Atlanta went to work. The tiny city had to build an arena, housing, and fields worthy of the world's best athletes. And everyone was watching.
They were building multiple stadiums, multiple sites. There was a time frame associated with it.
Excitement shifted to nervousness as the deadline drew nearer and the buildings were still only partially built. Washington Post journalist William Booth published an article on April 20th, 1996, describing the scene. The hospitable but anxious first city of the South is like a frazzled hostess scrambling to set the table minutes before the Sunday company arrives. In this case, 2 million or so guests. So you get the picture. Atlanta needed help. And while the local construction team was working hard, it wasn't enough, and they needed more hands. So it was time to find more construction workers. Teodoro Mouse was the Mexican consul in Atlanta at the time. He says an official with the Immigration and Naturalization Service called him to say they weren't going to do much enforcement until the end of the Olympics. Mouse says he was then asked to sort of spread the word in the Mexican community that the federal government was willing to look the other way while immigrants, many of them undocumented, gave the city a helping hand. Sam Zamarripa, the former Georgia state senator we've been hearing from, doesn't put it past INS, especially during the 90s. Back then, there was no giant border wall or continuous patrolling of the border.
I absolutely also knew the director of the INS during that time period. And it doesn't surprise me that the INS voluntarily elected to reduce any kind of enforcement in that era because too much was at stake.
We do have to mention that there is no way to prove that officials actively suspended immigration enforcement. INS doesn't exist anymore. The agency dissolved when ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, was formed. ICE officials told me they, quote, can't confirm that any such suspension took place surrounding the Atlanta Olympics in 1996, end quote. But whatever happened, word spread that there were construction jobs available and that crossing the border was easier than ever. Zamarripa says soon enough, a bus system popped up and brought workers from border states and across the border to Atlanta.
Make no mistake, their buses were running constantly. I was up there in some mornings at 7 a.m. in the morning, sometimes two and three buses pulling into this little corner on Beaufort Highway and unloading, hundreds of workers.
Soon enough, Atlanta, known for being largely black and white, was becoming browner and browner.
And overnight, there was a taco shop on every corner.
As more and more buses brought in workers, the faster the sites got built.
And this work, we began at 7 in the morning, and it went on to 7 and 8 o'clock at night every day for years. And the streets were teeming with Latino workers.
The frenzied host finally got the table set. Atlanta made its construction deadline.
There is no way, in my opinion, that the 1996 game schedule could have been met without having the contribution of the Latino workforce.
And as the 1996 Olympics came and went, the Latino workforce stayed behind.
It would only be post-Olympics that the response would take such a negative turn.
Now that the dust had cleared, the Atlanta residents looked around and noticed that demographics had changed. Sam Zamarripa, who at this point post-Olympics had just become Georgia's first Latino state senator, recalled a conversation he had with Governor Sonny Perdue, who was now the Secretary of Agriculture for the Trump administration.
He said, I want to tell you something. People are telling me that they're beginning to see these Mexican workers in Walmart. And I thought he was going to say something else. And I looked at him and I realized that what he was saying was that the workforce was beginning to show up in the fabric of their communities and they didn't like it. So it was okay for this workforce to come in and to do the work, to build the buildings, to clean hotel rooms, but it wasn't okay for them to show up at Walmart. And I did not take that as the governor telling me that was his opinion, but I took that the governor was telling me what people really thought. And I do think that there is something about the South there is this ideal that the South has a unique history that must be preserved. And sometimes that notion of preservation takes the form of resisting any kind of change.
That unique history is the same history that Mayor Young was trying to move past, racial segregation and oppression. As Young said, it was Atlanta's racial harmony that won them the opportunity to host one of the biggest Olympic Games of all time. But it was a new racial group that came in and helped Atlanta come out on top. Atlanta took the stage to show its progress, to show the rest of the world different races and nationalities coming together on the field. Once the stadiums emptied, the Latino immigrants that came to help stayed, but the feeling of racial harmony didn't.
If you want to think about one of the great legacies of the Olympic Games, it is the fact that the Mexican community came here and stayed, because they have enriched Atlanta in so many ways and will continue to do so. And so I do think that that is one of the legacies that over time will be larger and larger and larger and is observable.
Now, two decades after the Centennial Olympic Games, Atlanta seems to have achieved its goal. It has become a well-known, well-respected international city, home to celebrities, billion-dollar companies, and it literally connects people from all over the world with the world's busiest airport. But Atlanta wouldn't be where it is now. It wouldn't be the Hollywood of the South if it first hadn't been the home to the biggest Olympic Games in history. And it wouldn't have pulled it off without the help of Latinos that sprinted into action and carried the torch to the finish line.
Latino USA producer, Zakiya Gibbons.